The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
At this time, we want to officially welcome our podcast audience and our YouTube audience as well. Again, I'm Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, this is going to be probably one of the most interesting topics that I've talked about. And a while I was doing my own personal devotional, I was in the book of Romans chapter one. I was reading the first chapter there of Romans, and some stuff just really leaped off the pages at me that I believe is very sobering as far as believers go. And that's something I want to share with you today. So this is going to be our topic of discussion. So if you have a Bible and you'd like to join us today, then please open your Bible and follow along with this. Again, I'm going to be in Romans chapter 1, verses 18, and probably to about verse 32. So that's Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Let's get after this thing. Here's what the word of the Lord says: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." So I want to stop there. And I want to focus on that for a second. There's some powerful truths just in that opening statement of Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." So the wrath of God is revealed from where? Heaven. It comes from heaven. And why is it revealed from heaven? The Apostle Paul clearly tells us here that it's the wrath of God is for the purpose, and it is for all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now listen to this: who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. The word suppress here is something we really need to talk about today as well. The word suppress means to exclude from consciousness. Let me say that again. The word suppress means, it actually has dual meanings here. It means to exclude or to remove from consciousness. In other words, it's willfully removing conviction. Let me say that again. It's willfully removing conviction. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Let's read on. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they," who's they? Those who suppress the truth, those who practice ungodliness, those who practice unrighteousness among men, "they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile." Now, that's an extremely interesting word that's used here in the Greek, meaning to make completely ineffective in their thoughts. And as a result, their foolish hearts were darkened. So I don't know if you're catching this, but there's a process here. It's a progression. It starts out with suppression, and then it moves to ineffectiveness, and then it ultimately leads into your heart becoming darkened, but then your mind takes effect. And we're going to show that in just a second. Verse 22, "professing to be wise, they became fools." So in this process of suppressing the truth, becoming ineffective in their thoughts, their hearts being darkened, they continue to profess to be wise. After all, they are professors. They have degrees. They, in this life, they are wise, but they become fools. Listen to this: "and changed." So they willfully changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Can I tell you guys, there is people in high positions in the world, scientists, biologists, professors, et cetera, and they are playing God. They profess to be wise. They profess to have knowledge, and they are playing God. They are participating in altering DNA. They're altering God's creation, and they are creating, and they're transforming, and they're producing things that are altering God's order, His eternal order. And they're doing things that is producing and is causing the wrath of God to be poured out from heaven. Can I tell you, if I was to take you on a 20-minute journey to the past, I could show you through historical writings of early church fathers and other Jewish writings that in times past, in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, especially in the days of Noah, and I've talked about this in other segments we did on podcast segments, and we've got this all archived on YouTube and our website, but we did a three-part series on the days of Noah, and we did the days of Lot. But in the times of Noah, according to ancient historical writings like the book of Jasher, J-A-S-H-E-R, you may pronounce it Jasher, but this is a Jewish historical account of things that was taking place in that time. It talks about how the angel, and even in the books of Enoch, the books of First and Second Enoch, it talks about how these Nephilims are these men of renown that were, they were hybrids. They were half angels and half God, or half angels and half men. They would mingle the blood of animals. They would take the DNA of animals. They would take the gene pool of animals, and they would begin to create things. They would create hybrids. So again, this is not something that's been happening in the last decade or the last 20 years. This has been going on since the beginning. And it's going to repeat. The cycle is going to emerge again. It's going to come on the scene again, because even the Lord said in the Gospels of Matthew and in the Gospels of Luke, or in the Gospel of Luke, He said, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. So I want to show you this. They became wise and become fools, and they changed. The order of God's creation is not acceptable to them. It doesn't meet their standards. It doesn't meet their criteria. It doesn't meet their agenda, because their hearts have become darkened and their minds have become corrupt. They profess to be wise, they become fools, and they're trying to change the order of God's creation. Listen to this. Therefore, I just told you the wherefore. Then we go to the therefore of Romans 1:24. Therefore, God also gave them up. I'm going to say it again. God gave them up. Somebody said God gave them up. That's important when we move on with this, because I'm going to go back to this in a second. He gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And he's talking about them, or those who participate in this, who exchange the truth of God. Oh, listen, I know the culture. Our culture says what's truth to us is not truth to them. And what truth may be for you is not truth to us. In other words, the culture of today, society of today, Hollywood today, the elites of today, the who's who of today will tell you there is no absolutes. They will tell you what is truth for you is truth for you, and what is truth for me is truth. It is whatever we say. For every man is doing right and does right and does what he pleases in his own eyes. So God says, listen to this. He says they will exchange. They're making an exchange. They're exchanging the truth of God for the lie. Let me say it again. There's the truth and there's the lie. Oh, I wish, listen, it's time for Christians to get back into the Bible. It's time for Christians to get back into the Word. Because if we could get believers to get back into the fundamentals and to get back into sound doctrine and to get back into the Word of God, then we wouldn't have all the foolishness that we're seeing behind the pulpits of the world. We wouldn't see abomination being of the given the stamp of approval behind pulpits. We wouldn't have the mess that we're seeing and that we're in behind pulpits around the world if preachers, if teachers, if pastors, if parishioners, if men and women of God would get back in the Word of God, if we could get some good Bereans who would listen to what's being preached behind the pulpit and go back home and study these things out with the Word of God and see if they be true. Because you'll discover if you're really discerning, if you study the Word line on line, word for word, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, and rightfully divide the Word of truth, you will discover that there is a truth of God and there is the lie. There's no gray area. There's no, well, we don't really know. Well, it's kind of this. Well, we're going to do it our own way. Well, what's truth for you is truth for you and what is not for us. No, there is the truth and there is the lie. And it says that they will exchange the truth of God. In other words, they will know. Here's what's scary, guys. They will know the truth of God. They will know it. What does the Bible say in Romans 1? It says, listen, let me go back up here. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal powerhead and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because they, although they knew God, they chose not to glorify him as God, and neither were they thankful. So, oh, come on, somebody. So the word is not enough. The truth of God is not enough. Holy Spirit is not enough. The power is not enough. Presence is not enough. So we are going to exchange the truth for something that tickles our ears, something that makes us happy, something that makes us pleasant, something that makes us popular. So it says they will exchange the truth in which they already know for the lie. Give me what makes me popular. Give me what makes me happy. Give me what's going to give me followers. I don't, I want to have a platform. I want to be popular. I don't want to lose all my tithers. I don't want to lose our attendance. So give me the lie instead. Listen to this. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, listen to this. God gave them up. Somebody say, God gave them up. Does that sound familiar? Yes, because he said it in Romans 1:24. And then he goes down here in Romans 1:26. And he says it again. God gave them up. Listen to this. He gave them up to vile passions. Vile passions. Let's make it a little bit clearer. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Listen to this, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Did you hear that? They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, hey, I just read that this is a sin. I just read that this is an abomination. I just heard this preached behind the pulpit. If they actually hear it from behind the pulpit, that this is an abomination, or that this is a sin, or that this lifestyle will send you to hell. I know I just heard that, but I don't like to retain that. I don't want to hear that, preacher, because it holds me accountable. It charges me to do something. It causes me to live a holy lifestyle. It causes me to repent. It causes me to turn away from something. It charges me to leave friends and a yoked relationship that I've been in that I have no business in. It causes me to be separate. It causes me to be sanctified. It causes me to be set apart from the world, be of this world, be in this world, but not of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of the word. So I don't want to hear that. In other words, listen, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, listen, here it is. God gave them over. So three times here in Romans 1, God gave them up, God gave them up, and God gave them over. And listen what it says that God gave them over to. It says God gave them over to a, your Bible probably says a reprobate. Some translations say a debased mind. Reprobate. To do those things which are not fitting. By the way, the word reprobate in Greek here means it gives you a picture, an illustration of the properly used. This illustration is properly used of metals and coins that are unfit for use or useless. So let me give you an example here. There's no value. The coin is so contorted. The currency is so contorted that it no longer holds any value. Did you know that there was a place mentioned in the New Testament called the Potter's Field? I believe in Greek it was called a keldama. And this is where Judas hung himself. And this is the place in which, where he was buried. And it was called the Potter's Field. And this was a place, when you studied out, it was a place where they would take broken pottery that was no longer usable and no longer useful. And they would dispose of it there. So, friends, the scary part here is that we can actually get to a place, people, humanity can get to a place where we shut off our ears to the word of God, our hearts, our minds, to the point where we become unuseful. Listen, there is a side of God. He's a part of God. He's called the Holy Spirit. He is who the Lord uses to convict us of sin. I don't have time. I can pull up all these scriptures in the book of 1 John, 2 John, the book of John. It talks about when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will convict the world of sin. But again, I talked about this in my last segment. The Holy Spirit is a he. And he can be vexed. He can be quenched. And he can be grieved. And he comes to lead us into all truth. So that when he comes and he knocks on our door and he says, look, I know everybody's going to this party, and I know they're going to be drinking. I know they're going to be doing drugs. They're going to be doing all kinds of illegal things. They're going to be doing things that you as a believer have no business being a part of. And if you go to that, you're risking yourself to be in danger. He will tell you this. He will warn you this. But if you say, yeah, and you suppress him, you shove him aside and you go do what you want, you have just grieved him. You have vexed him. And I said this before, when we go into the house of God and the Holy Spirit wants to move in the church and touch people and deliver people and heal people and save people and come on and set people free, but the leadership of the church suppresses him and doesn't want to do things his way and do things their own way, they have just quenched the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Let me go back to here. Romans 1:28. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not fitting. Now listen to this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Listen to this. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God. Did you hear that? They know the righteousness. They know the righteous judgment of God. That those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to do the same, but also approve those who practice them. Guys, listen, I believe, hear me out for a second. I believe that this was the end game condition of humanity right before the wrath of God was poured out in the time of Noah. Go back and read it in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. It talks about that men's hearts were evil continually before the Lord. They were violence covered the whole face of the earth. They were proudful. Noah preached for over 100 years and they did not repent. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. There were scoffers in that day. Why? Because come on, God dealt with them. Oh, come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit dealt with them because you know the Holy Spirit was there in that time. He was still being released upon the earth. He gave them a space to repent. Because God is ever merciful. He's long suffering. He's slow to wrath and slow to judgment. He's quick to forgive. He's quick to give mercy. But they listened to me, but because they kept refusing him, because they would not repent and they continued to practice these things, God eventually gave them up and he gave them over, and the wine cup of the wrath of God became full and he poured out his wrath upon the earth, and it was called the great flood of Noah. But come on, somebody, but he spared the righteous family of Noah. Then I believe it happened again in the time of Lot, because if you read the book of Genesis, you'll discover that God showed up. He showed up by two angels and they appeared to Lot and his family. They showed up at the door and they came because they wanted to get an eyewitness account. They wanted to go door to door. They wanted to see it face to face. And they gave a report back to the Lord that the cities of the plains are just as it's been reported to heaven. It is filled with wickedness. It is full of violence. It is full of sexual immorality. According to the book of Ezekiel, it was filled with the fullness of bread. It was full of pride. They didn't extend their hand to the poor. And come on, there was an abundance of idleness and among many other sins. And because the people would not repent, they would not turn back to God. God gave them up and God gave them over. And he said, enough is enough. And he showed up at the door of Lot and he says, get your family ready. Is there anybody? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me today from the all over my body. I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me today. He says, the angel showed up and he says, Lot, get your family, get them ready. And if you've got anybody else in the house, get them ready, because we can do nothing until you're out of the house. And your Bible says that he gathered them up and he went to a place called Zoar. And when the sun came up the next morning and the angels of the Lord saw that Lot and his family who were righteous before God, your Bible says that Lot was vexed day and night by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked. And the Bible called him righteous Lot. God, the angels looked and saw that Lot and his family was spared, God, that they were out of the way. Then it says that the wrath of heaven came out of heaven. I said it again. The wrath of God was poured out from heaven. Your Bible says that fire and brimstone came raining down out of heaven. Why? Because Paul, the apostle, made it clear. He said that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Can I tell you that just as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, your Bible says in the book of Jude, in the first and only chapter of Jude, it says there's coming a day when God will come back with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming out of heaven to execute judgment upon all ungodliness. And those who continue to practice ungodliness and their ungodly deeds. Why is he going to do it? Because he's going to pour out his wrath again. And I believe with all my heart, it will be poured out and we will see this in what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. But we get this, but here's the scary part about this. Let me recap this real quick. Give me 5 minutes and then I'm going to pray for some folks and we're going to close this podcast today. Now, all this is coming on. Listen to this. Here is the progression of this. Number one, they suppressed the truth. Number two, they became ineffective in their thinking. Number three, their hearts became darkened. Number four, pride set in because they began to profess to be wise, even though God said that they were fools. Number five, they began to alter or change God's word. Did you know there is professing Christians and theologians who are changing God's word? Some of these translations, guys, of the Bible have been altered that it eliminates sound doctrine. It distorts the word of God. It removes repentance. It removes certain phrases and sin and different things and the wrath of God. It removes whole things. Even the blood of Jesus is removed. Whole passages are removed from some of these translations. And then finally, it says, God gave them up and gave them over because, listen to this, they exchanged the truth for the lie. And I'm going to give you one more passage and then we're going to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. By the way, the Apostle Paul wrote this as well. Listen what he says. Now the Spirit expressively says that in the latter times or in the end days, I believe we're there right now, that some will depart from the faith. Did you see that? They will depart from the faith. And you've heard me say this, and I'm going to continue to say this every single time I get to this verse, as long as I'm still breathing, I will preach this just the way I've always preached this. You cannot depart something lest you were first a part of something. And the Spirit says in the latter days, some will depart from the faith. In other words, you can't depart from the faith unless you were first a part of the faith. We always think that this is going to be the unrighteous or the unregenerated. No, he's talking about people who profess the faith. The Spirit says that they will depart from the faith. Why are they going to depart from the faith? He tells you right here in 1 Timothy 4, listen, because they will give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron. Guys, listen. The picture of that, having your conscience seared with the hot iron, you've heard me say, listen, I worked in the restaurant business for 7 years, years and years ago. For seven straight years, I worked in the restaurant business. I dealt with hot pans, hot ovens, skillets, whatever the case would be. I burned my hands, the bottoms of my hands. I had burned them so much that they became calloused that I could literally, there could be potatoes in the oven and I could literally, that's been in the oven for 350 degrees for so long that when they're done, I could literally reach in and grab potatoes that are wrapped in aluminum foil and grab them out of the oven and set them on a pan and it never burned my hand, nor and I didn't jerk my hand away. Why? Because the longer that I burned my hands and exposed them to extreme heat, they became calloused and I was able to do things that I would not normally be able to do. I'm telling you guys, this is terrifying. We're all included in this. God help us all. But if we get to a place where we quench, vex, and grieve the Holy Spirit when he's dealing with us about sin, when he's dealing with us about unrighteousness, when he's dealing with us about our lifestyles, if we continually to stiff arm him and tell him to go away, go somewhere else, and we're going to do our own thing and we're going to exchange the truth for the lie. I'm telling you, based upon the word of God, God will deal with you as a father. Oh, come on, somebody, deals with his children. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Come on. I thank God that he deals with me. I thank God that he chastises me. I thank God that he convicts me, because I would be extremely worried if you ever got to a place where you can openly commit sin and not feel guilty about it, because that tells me and that should testify to you that what has happened is your hands are not calloused, but your heart and your mind has become calloused. And we'll say what the Bible says, it has become alienated, it has become futile, and eventually, I believe with my whole heart, we can get to a place where God will give you over and give you up to a reprobate mind, and he will just give you over to the sin that you're not willing to depart from. I know this is strong preaching. Listen, I know nobody on Christian television preaches like this anymore, but I'm going to tell you, this is what we need in the church. This is what we need to preach in this hour. We need the John the Baptist spirit of Elijah that prepares the way of the Lord and the coming of the Lord right now. So here's what I want to do right now. If you're watching this today, you're listening to this today, whether it be podcast, YouTube, or Facebook, come on, I want to include us all in this prayer. I'm going to pray for all of us today. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, help us today. Lord, you see our faults. You see our weaknesses. You see our struggles. Lord, if we're struggling with gossip, if we're struggling with slander or discord or lust or perversion, or we're struggling with alcoholism, we're struggling with drunkenness, we're struggling with these things, Lord, God, I believe that people would not be listening to this today if, Lord, if their heart was not still pliable. So, God, while there is still hope and while we can still be convicted of our sins, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to convict us. We ask that you'd cleanse us, that you would transform us, that, Lord, we repent. We lay it down to the best of our ability at your feet today. Lord, take that sin in our lives, and we lay it at your feet today. We ask that you would help us by the Holy Spirit to live righteous to you, to live holy before you, to walk away from some people and some things, to lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily besets us, that we can run the race that's set before us. Lord, we're not boxing as one who boxes in the air, but Lord, the Apostle Paul said, I buffet myself, I die daily. Come on, it's time for some folks today to die to yourself, die to your flesh, put your flesh on the altar. I know it's not uncomfortable. I know it's not pleasant, because flesh is alive. It's breathing. It has pain, and it hurts to lay things down. It hurts to walk away from some people. It hurts to break up relationships. But God, I thank you today that whatever you're calling us out of, you're going to give us the grace to step into. Oh, I want to say that again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whatever you're calling us out of, you're going to give us the ability, and you're going to give us the grace to step into. So for every friend that we have to give up, you're going to have another friend on the other end of that thing that is filled with the Holy Ghost and power. I thank you. Whatever job we have to give up because of the lifestyle, what it permits us to do, I thank you that there's another job waiting on the other side where we don't have to feel unclean about, that we can be proud of, that we can earn a living from, and that we can make a living and come on and provide for our family and be right with God. I believe it, Lord, for you said that every man that leaveth household and leaves mother and father and husband and wife and lands, you said you would provide 100-fold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. God, you have been so faithful, even in my own life. I thank you, Lord, for all the friends that either walked away or I had to walk away from. God, I thank you that you have surrounded my family and I with Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, trustworthy, God-loving friends. I thank you that everything we had to walk away from, God, you have been faithful to restore, Lord, and it didn't come overnight. It didn't happen in a week's time, but it eventually came to pass. For you are a God that cannot lie, nor shall you repent. But I thank you, Father, that you're a God. You said that the promises of God are yes and amen, and to those who believe. And Lord, I want to be obedient to what the Lord is speaking in my heart. Right now, I believe there's some folks in your family. I don't know who I'm talking to. It may be one person, but you've got a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a niece, a cousin, a nephew, whatever. I specifically, it's your family, though. It's not a neighbor. It's not a friend. It's a family member. And as we've been talking about this, their face has come up before your mind. It's you see their face and you're like, dear God, please don't let them be given over to a reprobate mind. Please don't give them up to that sin or that. Listen, let me close with this real quick. When Abraham knew that Lot and his family was in captivity in Sodom and the cities of the plains, Abraham did not abandon him, but instead, come on, he went down into the enemy's camp. Now, listen, I recognize that some of you are not physically able. You're not capable of going into maybe their home or whatever. But listen, we can go right into their home. We can go into their place of work. We can go wherever through prayer and intercession. Let me say that again. We can go there. We can go in the enemy's camp through prayer and intercession. So it's time. Listen, we've got to step up our game, step up our prayer, step up our intercession, and begin to cry out to God and stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And I believe you're going to see God intervene and move on your behalf and watch God himself step into that situation and bring them out. I just want to tell somebody, it's not too late. It's not too late. The enemy would have you to believe that it's over, that God's given them over. I'm telling you, I really feel like that God is just assuring some people that if you'll just pray and you'll intercede, that there is still seed in their lives. The Bible says that one sows, another waters, and God gives the increase. You have sowed the seed in their heart of the gospel, and now you're going to water it through intercession and watch God give the increase. Watch that phone call come. Watch that visitation come. Watch you run into them at the supermarket, run into them at Walmart, run into them at the ball game, run into them at the workplace, whatever. And you've not seen them. And then suddenly they'll come to you and say that I got to tell you what happened. I don't know how or what happened. And they will begin to testify, and you, and it's going to be attributed to your prayers and your intercession and God doing supernaturally what you could not do in the natural. Come on, I believe that today. If you believe that, I want you to receive this word today for yourself. Receive it for your family members in Jesus' name. So guys, again, God bless you. Thank you for coming on today to be a part of this to be a part of this broadcast. Again, as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to follow us on our main website. You can find us at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. You can get there through .com or .org. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please, if you've not yet subscribed to our newsletter, please do that. You'll get one digest every single day in your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to, don't forget to download our free app. Again, available on Android, available on Apple. Get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our podcast, our YouTube channel, all of our updates, our announcements, all that's going to be right there on the app. You can find that, again, free on Apple and Android. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing week after week, and you would like to help partner with us, pray about becoming a monthly partner, you can do that two ways. You can do it electronically right there on your screen. You see that. You can give electronically by going to the app right there on the bottom to the right. You're going to see a place where you can give electronically there, or you can go to the main website and give there on the website as well. Or you can give by check or money order. And again, you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, again, thank you for jumping on here today and being a part of the broadcast. We appreciate you and appreciate your supporting us. We are going to sign off for today. We'll be taking tomorrow off so that we can get everything together for our Wednesday broadcast. And by the way, this Wednesday, I'm going to talk about this message out of the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about the sins of Sodom. And I'm going to home in on one particular sin of Sodom that I believe is reemerging right here in America. And I believe it's strong right now. And we really need to be in prayer about this, because this is one of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember, as these things continue to mount up, eventually the wrath of heaven was revealed, or the wrath of God was revealed from heaven upon him. So we're seeing this reemerging again. So don't miss that. That'll be this Wednesday. So until then, God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. Until then, guys, God bless. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.